As journalists, our job is to report on the news in an objective way, even when the stories we're telling are difficult to hear or when the pain felt by those in the news is obvious. It's harder, sometimes even impossible, to maintain that professional distance when a reporter knows some of those affected. That's what happened to my colleague Vladimir Hernandez. He's a Latin America correspondent for our partners at the BBC. He's usually based in London, but he recently traveled to his native Venezuela to report on the economic crisis there, specifically the lack of food in many parts of the country.
Well, it's a big food distribution crisis. There are a lot of shortages, and it's a country with the highest inflation in the world. In many places, people are not getting enough. And when there is food available, it just costs so much that no one can buy it.
And remind us why Venezuela is in this crisis. It just seems so extreme for a country that historically has had a strong economy. It's an oil economy. What brought Venezuela to this point?
The main issue Venezuela has had is that it is a state in which the expenditure grew at a really fast pace. And this was to finance either social programs, state spending, infrastructure, all sorts of programs that when the price of oil went down, and that just essentially cut about two-thirds of the income of the country, the spending structure was completely unsustainable. And now the Venezuelan government is just facing the inability of paying the bills, even basic bills, to import food. But if you speak to anyone in the opposition camp of politics, they will also point their fingers at the state becoming the main player in a market and making it less profitable for private companies to actually produce anything because the state just took over everything, essentially.
Vladimir, you're Venezuelan, and I understand this story got very personal for you. When you visited, you learned that not only are many Venezuelans struggling with not enough to eat and not enough food, you found it in your own family there. What happened?
Well, that was very strong, very emotional in many ways. I met my mom, and she was so skinny that I was shocked just looking at her. I met my dad, who I hadn't seen in like 4 years, and I could see his cheekbones, and my dad has always been like a very robust man. My brother was telling me he had already downsized his trousers, his pants, one size, and you can see how skinny he was. And I mean, I'm not talking about African famine here or any sort of extreme malnutrition, but the fact that a lot of people who I know on a personal level, my family, friends, had just lost so much weight was, I think people there just don't realize that. I think you just have to stop seeing people. And when you see them again a year later and you see everyone's lost weight, well, there's clearly a problem here.
What do your family members say in terms of what they think is going to happen? I mean, are they angry? Are they hopeful? Do they have confidence that the government will solve this crisis?
Look, there's been shortages in Venezuela since at least 2006. But the fact that it's gotten worse throughout the years and not necessarily abruptly, I think I come back with the idea that a lot of people have become used to the struggle. People to tell you, well, you know, I've just got a queue. That's all I have to do. I've just got to get in line and get my food. It's not something that is shocking. A lot of people find it despairing, but they've become accustomed to it. And in a way, probably that's why it keeps on happening. And a lot of people will ask you outside of Venezuela, so how come there's no social revolt? How come people just don't take the streets or anything? This has been happening. It's been trickling through in recent years. And maybe people in a way have just gotten used to it and don't see a solution. Also, there may be an element of fear in a way that in the last time there were huge protests in Venezuela related to the economy was in 2014, about 2 years ago. And after that, there was a big crackdown on a lot of university students who took part in it. Some of them are still in jail. And I think that kind of had an impact on many Venezuelans.
In the video you shot, there's these long, long lines. You know, they practically go for a mile, people waiting in line. The situation seems unsustainable.
It definitely is. And also, I don't think a lot of people know what does it take to buy food in Venezuela right now. Any Venezuelan can only go once a week to a supermarket or to a shop to buy something. And that all depends on what's the number in which your national identity card finishes with. So if you are, let's say, 0 and 1 in the last digits of your national identity card, that means you can only buy on a Monday. And that means that you can only go there on Monday to buy a fixed amount of goods. So you can only buy, for instance, 1 pack of flour, 1 pack of pasta, and 2 bottles of water. You cannot really stock yourself up waiting for the next wave of food to arrive. Sometimes it's very humiliating. People wait in line and then you have to get a number branded on your arm, which will tell you what's your turn in the queue. And some of the scenes I saw were just extremely sad because I saw people at 3 in the morning under heavy rain just waiting in line, hoping to get something, and people who had been waiting and then at the end of the day couldn't get anything.
And you yourself were interrupted by authorities when you tried to videotape what was going on in a supermarket. It seems to me that there's some concern by the government that they don't want this exposed.
We went into a supermarket because we saw that there were signs of a riot about to erupt because the supermarket was close and people had been there since 2 a.m. and this was about 4 p.m. and a lot of people were not able to buy food. So there was a riot in the making there, and as soon as we got in, even with small cameras, the National Guard just essentially surrounded us and kicked us out. But while they were doing that, everybody around us started chanting, let them film, because they just wanted their story being told. They thought that if this was getting on cameras, things would be better. And that was such a desperate situation.
Where do you think Venezuela is headed? I mean, it's hard to believe this thing can go on forever. Is there some sort of punctuation mark? Like, is there a time where there'll be a new election and Nicolas Maduro could be defeated? What's the next step here?
I think the electoral solution is still very much on the cards in Venezuela because Nicolas Maduro is still halfway through his term. And if you're queuing under the rain at 3 a.m. and not being able to find enough food, the fact of thinking that you still have 3 more years of the same government to go, a lot of people just wouldn't take that.
Have many Venezuelans left the country?
I spoke to a young student called Valeska, and she was telling me that she just wanted to go to a place which was normal, where she would be able to go to a supermarket and decide when and what to buy with the money she had, and therefore she left for Mexico. So it is very recurrent that you see young people leaving the country right now.
Vladimir Hernandez is Venezuelan. He's a Latin America correspondent for the BBC in London, and he just returned from a visit to Venezuela. Thanks, Vladimir.
Thank you.